Northwestern Medicine, relentless in their pursuit of better health care. Learn more at nm.org/better.
Time to check in with Northwestern Medicine's Dr. Kevin Most. Good morning, Doc. Lots of questions about Omicron. Let me start with this one. It's the flu season. It's the cold season. How do you know whether it's the flu, a cold, or COVID? Any guidance there?
Yeah, you really, as an individual, you won't know. And often we as physicians in the hospital won't know. So that's why when we're testing individuals now, we're testing them not only for influenza, but we're testing them for COVID at the same time. Not that there's a big difference, because there's not treatment options, obviously, for COVID are different than they are with influenza. But we have limited treatment options for influenza at this time.
And I know Delta is still the most common variant. So would the symptoms of the flu, a cold, and either Delta or Omicron, for that matter, be similar?
Yeah, they can be. If we remember, you know, COVID has this wide array of symptoms, right? Some people have no symptoms whatsoever. Some have fever. Some have cough. Influenza, we know, is one of those where if you get true-blown influenza and you haven't been vaccinated, you just get hit with this ton of bricks, a very quick onset, very high fever, body aches, and you're going to feel miserable, you know, for 10 days. So some of the symptoms certainly overlap, but some of them are totally different.
We hear that Omicron shares the genetic code with the common cold. What does that mean exactly? Would that mean that they would have similar symptoms?
Yeah, so if you remember way back when, right, when we first started talking about COVID, you know, COVID is a coronavirus. It's a novel coronavirus, but the normal coronaviruses that we see are the common cold. So that's why a lot of these upper respiratory symptoms are the same, right? These viruses love to get into our upper respiratory tract and can work their way into our lungs, but that's how this virus works. So they are going to be somewhat similar. As a matter of fact, if you think way back earlier when we were talking, it was, okay, is this just going to be another really bad cold, or does this virus have the opportunity to go to other places in the body, which is exactly what it has shown.
I heard a couple of reports over the weekend I want to ask you about. One is fully vaccinated people can become spreaders after 4 months. What does that mean exactly?
Yeah, so you got to remember, when we're talking about fully vaccinated people and the vaccine and the value that it adds, right, is that it'll keep you out of the hospital and it will prevent you from dying. That's when we talk about these 97% effective rates. It is that you will not get sick to a point where you need to be hospitalized. It's not saying that you're not going to get COVID. Matter of fact, we've seen that, right? We've heard about breakthrough cases all the time. We're really hoping that the breakthrough cases wouldn't happen until 6 or 8 months after you've been fully vaccinated. But now some of these studies show that it may be as soon as 4 months after that you might be able to get some of these some cases and then be able to be a spreader, even though you may not have symptoms, which, again, just reinforces the importance that we all get boosters.
You know, it's funny. It seems like the more information we get, the more confusing it gets sometimes. People, I hope, are getting their booster shots, and there's still some question about which one to get for some people. The latest study I heard about was that if you had the Pfizer shots, that the Johnson & Johnson booster is the most effective. What do we know about that?
Yeah, so that's an interesting study that just came out. Very small study, but very interesting study, right? Because everyone had been looking at Johnson & Johnson as being the subpar vaccine, right? Matter of fact, we told people, boy, if you got Johnson & Johnson, for your booster, get Pfizer or Moderna. Well, now the exact flip has happened as well, where individuals who got Pfizer and then were boosted with Johnson & Johnson showed a very good immune response. So I think what it's really telling us is that we have really good vaccines here, and the ability to mix and match is out there. So right now, it certainly appears, boy, whichever vaccine you got, mixing and matching is totally fine, and you're going to get a great immune response.
Dr. Kevin Most, Chief Medical Officer at Northwestern Medicine Central DuPage Hospital. We'll get to some listener questions and more coming up momentarily. Sponsored by Northwestern Medicine, relentless in their pursuit of better health care. It is 10 minutes before 7 o'clock, continuing with Northwestern Medicine's Dr. Kevin Most. I was reading about something troubling, Doc. Cases in children of COVID rising 16% over the last week and 32% over the last 2 weeks nationally. Do we know what's going on here? Why is that happening?
Yeah, well, there's a few things there. One is that the vaccination rate in children is obviously not as high yet as it is in adults. Two, we have these kids all back in school, working closely together, and we're seeing, you know, the mitigation strategies, you know, just not working as well. I think that the biggest message for parents right here is, you know, we have to look at what's happening in South Africa right now, because that's where Omicron is, and that's where, well, now it's everywhere. It's everywhere, but that's really the hot spot. Their pediatric hospitalizations have skyrocketed. So really concerned now, is Omicron going to have a bigger impact on children and unvaccinated children than it does on the vaccinated adults or those who have had COVID in the past?
And what is it, another week or so before we really have some information about how well the current vaccines work against Omicron?
Yeah, you know, if you look, we're probably a week, 2 weeks away from how it works with the vaccines. However, if we're looking at what's going on right now in South Africa, it's actually very encouraging. People say, gosh, how can you say that? This is going to be the dominant strain in 3 to 6 months. How can you say that this is encouraging? But we have to remember that Omicron, and right now in South Africa, does not appear to be as severe as Delta. You know, a lot of them, less oxygen demand, much shorter hospitalizations for those who are hospitalized. And they have this huge spike in cases, but they aren't seeing the huge spike in hospitalizations. So really, this may be good news. If Omicron takes over Delta and it's a more mild virus, then in the long game, this could be extremely good news, which people can't get their arms around right now. Mm-hmm. And certainly we don't know enough, but potentially if it plays out the way it's playing out in South Africa, Omicron could be one of the best things that ever happened in this pandemic.
Yeah, that's a good thought. Let me get some listener questions. I had the vaccine and then got COVID. Do I need the booster?
Yes. Yeah, you certainly should. You have to remember, people will get COVID even after being vaccinated. Now, if that person said, I got vaccinated, got COVID, and was hospitalized, that'd be even a little bit more unusual. But certainly now, getting the booster after having natural immunity as well as the shot is going to prevent you and give you much better protection from hospitalizations or any further infections.
If I got J&J, is it okay to get the same for a booster?
You can, but the studies really have shown to stay away from that. J&J followed by J&J, you still get a very good response. But if we're going to play percentages and you want to increase your possibility of percentages for protection, then you would certainly go from J&J to either Pfizer or Moderna. You know, you'd rather do the mix and match if you started with J&J. And like we were talking earlier, it certainly appears that any of the mix and matches certainly work well.
Here's an interesting question. My wife had severe side effects from the Pfizer shot. Should she get a booster? Which one? Or hold off?
That's a really interesting question now, especially with the study that came out. So if I had really bad reaction to the Pfizer, and now I know that the Johnson & Johnson appears to give me great protection, if I'm going to roll the dice, that's the way I'm going. Certainly individuals who got very bad side effects, those are the ones that have the hesitancy about the booster. They have to remember that they still are pretty well protected, but if they want to get the great protection, it's still worth 2 days of bad symptoms or bad side effects or 3 days than it is to be hospitalized or to have any of the long haul or COVID symptoms.
We're getting a lot of questions about testing. Here's one. How reliable and accurate is the rapid test for COVID?
Yeah, so the Abbott Bionex test is the one that you can do at home, and you know it's a rapid test that you can do by yourself. Very accurate. You know, not as accurate as the ones we do in the hospital, obviously, but still has a very high accuracy rate and is very good. It really does come down to the collection and making sure that you're doing the nasal swab correctly. That's why here at the hospital, we do the nasal swab for you because we know how many times to twist it and where to place it, and so we have much better results. But certainly, if you want to get a quick test coming into the holidays, absolutely, the Abbott Bionex is a outstanding testing.
Yeah, if you go to Walgreens or CVS, many times you can see different test kits available. Is there one that is really a lot better than any of the others, Doc?
No, you know, I'm still, you know, I mean, I'm not a spokesperson for Abbott, but I'm certainly looking at, you know, they were the first ones to come out. They have continued to perfect theirs. They have much greater data. There's a lot of companies, small pop-up companies say, hey, we're going to do it because we have these opportunities because there's going to be such a demand for them. So really, they all have to be approved by the FDA, so they all have to show that they are at least accurate to a point of being accepted. But certainly, going with the gold standard, I think, would be the way to go.
And finally, what's going on at Northwestern hospitals, and when you talk to your colleagues at other hospitals, are we seeing increased numbers of people being admitted to the hospitals these days or not?
Yeah, unfortunately, we are. We're still starting to see a creep. Really, this week will be a very telling because this will be the week that we'll see what was the impact from Thanksgiving. But certainly, we have seen over the past couple of weeks a slow and steady increase. We were down into the teens, you know, at one time here at CDH from a high of 130, but, you know, now we're creeping up into the 40s. So we're really hoping that this kind of stunts and plateaus out, but time is going to tell here over the next week or two.
Dr. Kevin Most, Chief Medical Officer at Northwestern Medicine Central DuPage Hospital. Thanks, as always, for the good information, Doc. You have a good week.
You got it, Bob. You guys take care.
News next in 2 minutes from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom.